Orate, fratres, pray, brethren. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We interrupt this Mass to bring you this special message. Well, prayer, the admonition to pray, could hardly be considered a special message. We hear it all the time. And the sermon, well, we wouldn't consider that to be an interruption. After all, as we have seen, it goes back to the very first century of Christianity. There's always been a sermon at Mass, although sometimes over the centuries, sermons were rather rare. But I can't imagine that we would have only now and again a sermon today, not when there are so many other voices raised and insistent coming into our lives all day long, every day, preaching a quite different gospel from that of our Lord and claiming our attention. How could we not preach then this simple message? Today's is as short as the gospel I've just read. Pray, brethren, pray. And this prayer must never be an interruption to your day, and it makes a good short resolution as you start this first day of a new year. Let's look for a moment at time and how we use it. There was once, a number of years ago, a very busy professor at that big university that has that football team, you know, and they used to be Catholic, and they're called after Our Lady, Notre Dame. Well, this man taught there his whole life long. And once he was walking on the beautiful grounds of Notre Dame University and confided to a fellow teacher with a certain melancholy in his voice, "You know, my whole life I was complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions are my work." How easily we resent the many, many little interruptions which go to make up our day. But what if we were like that professor to say, "My job is the interruptions"? I know that every parent could, and every priest should say the same. Years ago, do you remember that fad? Protestants, and I think maybe some Catholics did it as well, of wearing that little bracelet on the left arm, saying just the acronym, WWJD, what would Jesus do? This new year, it would be good, it was a good thing to do that. Any little help helps. But this new year, you might want to consider rearranging the letters WWSOCD would be my suggestion. What would Simon of Cyrene do? He was minding his own business. The mystic Anna Katharina Emmerich says he was a day laborer, a gardener in Jerusalem, and he was not even a Jew, he was a Gentile, just heading home for lunch that Friday, when he was grabbed by the soldiers, called upon, forced to carry Christ's cross. He resented it at first. And he was going to refuse. And the Blessed Mother saw this. She was there, and she always sees. And she prayed for Simon of Cyrene. And when she prays, she is heard. She is a creature like us, but she is omnipotent in her prayer. Every prayer of hers is heard by her Son. And so he consented, and he picked up that cross and carried it to Calvary. And Christ died on that cross, and the whole world was redeemed. How blessed are we that he did so. He took an interruption at his lunch hour. When the priest finishes his prayer to the Trinity, we looked at that on Sunday at the offertory, he interrupts his silent prayer, kisses the altar, and then he turns towards the people, extending his hands, as we've seen. That's a gesture of pay attention. Something's going to happen now. And he makes a circle so as to catch everybody's attention. And as he makes the circle, he starts out by praying Orate Fratres. He says, not as usually during Mass, let us pray. That would be the subjunctive. But he says, using the imperative, the command, simple, pray, orate. This goes back to the 7th century, before most of the offertory prayers were in the Missal. The chalice and the host, the bread and the wine, were all duly arranged upon the altar, and the choir, the schola, was singing the offertory chant, and the priest would stop, turn to the clergy who are in the sanctuary and the servers, and he would say in the medium voice, there are three voices of the Mass. The medium is used just a few times. It's only meant to be heard by those who are near the altar. In the medium voice, he would say, Orate Fratres, just loud enough to be heard, but not loud enough to interrupt the singing of the schola. Because sometimes you know the choir is a little particular about those things, and he wanted to respect the rules. But he wanted them to pray with him. That my sacrifice and yours, he continues in silence, may be acceptable to God, the Father Almighty. With time, this was considered to be a plea to all the people in the church, but it's still just said in the medium voice. You have to pay attention to catch it, because it is our common sacrifice, but we must pray that it be acceptable to God. We're meant to stop and to focus, and we're meant to help the priest. Our thoughts at that point, what do you think about during the offertory? You may have been thinking about what's for lunch today. You may have been thinking, well, that was a nice piece. That's a nice piece of music the choir is singing. I wonder what that is. You might look it up in your bulletin. But it may be just a distraction. Or you may be reading the prayers in your missal. But it's interrupted by this command to interrupt. The word, of course, comes from the Latin, two words in the Latin, interrumpere, to break into your thoughts. It's a chance for God, all of your interruptions, I mean, all day long, to break into our lives. Because whatever that interruption is, it is something about it of the will of God. It's a command, like the priest's stern one word, Orate, like a baby whose swaddling clothes need changing, like a colleague at work whose question needs an answer, only you're working on something else, like a priest whose people, and his people today are everybody and anybody, need a word, or very often they just need an ear to listen. Like the cell phone, whose beep commands my time? Okay, maybe not like the cell phone, because basically I want to turn it off before I get to church, and I hear enough from that thing all day long as it is. Because now, before the consecration, the Orate Fratres also serves as not only a hello, but a bye now, a farewell. The priest is saying, I'm going up the mountain, you know. I'm passing behind the veil. And in the early centuries, they used to draw a veil across the sanctuary. And the Greeks still closed the doors of their icon screen, the iconostasis, And sometimes, to be on the safe side, they pull a curtain across the door as well. I'm submerging myself in the great silence where I will treat with God on your behalf in the cloud of the canon. When I finish the preface, you will not hear me again until it is done and the Pater Noster is intoned. The consecration. Christ, the Lamb, born and slain upon the altar. You'll know it's happening, if you need the help, by the bells. But I'll be quiet. Father, what should I do then? Watch and pray, said our Lord at the garden. Pray what? Well, the church gives us the text. It's the Suscipiat. It's hard to say in Latin. I always feel sorry for little altar boys that have to learn it. There's lots of S's that are difficult sounds to make. Suscipiat Dominus Sacrificium. De manibus tuis. Ad laudem et gloriam Dominus sui, ad utilitatem quoque nostram, totiusque. That's another hard word. Ecclesiae sue sancte. May the Lord receive the sacrifice from thy hands to the praise and glory of his name, to our benefit and that of all his holy church. When the priest turns and interrupts his prayer, you should watch. You should watch and pray, and you should interrupt your thoughts to do so. See, if you're following Mass according to the Passion, see perhaps now Jesus Christ as Pilate showed him the scene we call the Ecce Homo, Pilate's words, behold the man. There he is, the crown of thorns on his head, the beretta stands for that, and his skin is hanging in tatters. He's standing in a slippery puddle of his own blood. Around his shoulders, so wounded, there's that dirty scarlet cloak of a centurion. His face is beaten, swollen, and there's a black eye you'd hardly recognize. But better, St. Bonaventure says this, picture our Lord in the Garden of Olives. He's still covered in a coat, a tunic of his own blood. Jesus had interrupted more than once his prayer in the agony in the garden to look for those closest to him, his clergy, his apostles. And he found them. And he found them sleeping. And he reproached them. We have this, we sing it and meditate it every year at Tenebrae. Ever been to Tenebrae? No. Make a resolution to come this year. It's in April. Weather should be good. 3 nights in Holy Week. Quid dormitis? Non potuisti un ora vigilare mecum. When are you sleeping? You couldn't watch 1 hour with me? Watch ye and pray that you enter not into temptation. Una ora, 1 hour, the length of a Sunday low mass, the Sunday high mass goes half again longer, and you get extra credit for that extra prayer. While Jesus is praying and bleeding in his passion, the apostles were sleeping. But the evangelist notes with sympathy, they only did it because they were overwhelmed with sadness. And the enemies, where were they? What a contrast. While our Lord is praying and the apostles are sleeping, there's Bergoglio in his luxury hotel in the Vatican, planning out the next step for the destruction of what's left of Christianity. And most of the people who used to be traditional Catholics are sleeping. They're sleeping. And Bergoglio is interfacing with the insiders in the deep state for that worldwide movement of democracy and the Marxist destruction of anything left in the way of Christian culture. As once Judas was pacing nervously, and the high priests waiting to get it over with, the temple police asking questions as they were being briefed, and the soldiers got their instructions. Swords, checklist. Lantern, cords, chain. Now, what was going to be the sign? Judas. It will be dark in the garden, but he'll go up to Jesus and he'll kiss him. Oh, the kiss. We'll look for that. Yes. And our Lord, this is going on, and he just says to his apostles, sit you here while I go over yonder and pray. What a majestic introduction to the Passion, prayer. Now you understand the reason for the interruption of the Orate Fratres. And our Lord the Lamb only uses the middle voice to get your attention. Each interruption of this day, and you'll have your share before you go to bed tonight, and this year, is a call to prayer because it is a sign of God's will. A little bit like those infernal muezzins, their whines from the mosque, the loudspeakers, in whatever city and neighborhood has fallen last, inexorably, to the Mohammedan plague. It's a reminder, it's a plea, it's a command, it is a farewell, especially before the Passion renewed today before our eyes. Increase your recollection, the solemn moment of sacrifice. Meum ac vestrum, my sacrifice and yours. Christ's sacrifice and ours is drawing near. In a word, pray. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.